Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a collaboration with KCBX and its team of program hosts. June is LGBTQ+ Pride Month, and the Gallup Pride and Diversity Center and the House of Pride are celebrating with a full lineup of local events and programs. Lotta Murdy today will talk to her guests and see what's coming up. We invite you to listen, learn, and participate in our conversation today, Thursday between 1 and 2 o'clock, and be part of the conversation at 805-781-3875, or as always, you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org. Now let's join Lotta and her guests. Over to you, Lotta.
Thank you, Brad. My guests today are Suzette Lopez, Executive Director of HOPE, or House of Pride and Equality, Linnea Valdivia, Program Manager at the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, or GPDC, and Daniel Gomez, Board Member and Chair of Central Coast Pride 2024 and 2025. Suzette, Linnea, and Daniel, welcome.
Thank you.
I know you have lots of exciting Pride Month events to tell us about in San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria, but before we start talking about these Pride events, I'd like to ask you to tell our listeners about your organizations, Gala Pride and Diversity Center, or GPDC, and House of Pride and Equality, or HOPE. Linnea, would you like to start? Tell us about Gala.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Gala Pride and Diversity Center is a nonprofit serving LGBTQ community members here in SLO County. We've been here for 25 years, and we offer a range of resources and services, including peer support groups, education and training, and other programs to engage and uplift LGBTQ people in SLO County.
Daniel, you have anything to add?
No, we also put on Pride every year, obviously. People forget sometimes that SLO Pride is a fundraiser for the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, So that's put on by GPDC. So I think that's another big thing we do.
So Gala's been around, started 25 years ago. Has Pride also been celebrated?
No, we started Pride in 1997, was our first Pride in San Luis Obispo, so a little bit after.
All right. Suzette, tell our listeners about HOPE, or House of Pride and Equality.
Sure. House of Pride and Equality has been around since 2016, officially became a nonprofit in 2017. And, we became an org because of the tragedy that occurred at the Night Pulse Club in Florida. And the founders saw an opportunity to get together as a community, and there were so many people that showed up that it just showed like the demand for LGBTQ resources in the area. So from there, they just started growing and became a nonprofit, started hosting events, and we also the main host of Santa Maria Pride.
Was there a certain incident or experience that inspired Gala Pride and Diversity Center?
I personally think it was probably an answer to the AIDS crisis. I'm sure that was a huge part of it. Yes, I just don't know exactly like where the connection is besides that.
And when did you both start being involved in working for Gala?
So I moved to the Central Coast about 7 years ago, 7 or 8, maybe even longer than that. Who knows? 2017. And I kind of showed up and was Googling gay San Luis Obispo, and I kind of ended up at the Gala Center. I just kind of jumped in a little bit, helped out here and there, but then also kind of started throwing parties and doing other fun stuff as well. And then recently in the last like year or two, I really kind of dove headfirst back into Gala, trying to revitalize and help grow it a little bit.
You're still throwing parties.
I am throwing parties a little bit.
Linnea, when did you start?
So my journey with Gala started when I joined the board of Trans Central Coast back in 2022. So Trans Central Coast was its own organization for many years. and then merged with Gala in 2022. And I moved here during the pandemic and wanted to find community, and I found that in Trans Central Coast. And then when the two merged, I started spending more of my volunteer time with Gala and going to more of the Gala events. And I'm really excited to be, you know, part of the staff now at Gala and to do work to help unite Trans Central Coast and Gala.
Suzette, when did you start? Were you there from the beginning with Hope, with House of Pride and Equality?
So I attended their first Pride after party in 2017. I couldn't quite make it to the first Pride. And in 2018, I got involved. I DJ. And so I started just volunteering for their events and, you know, oh, okay, well, why don't you join our volunteering committee? And then made it onto the board and just got more involved. And I'm kind of just, you know, super duper in it now. So I've been fully committed to Hope since 2018.
Wonderful. And so both organizations have been through some exciting changes recently. So do you want to talk about some of those changes?
I mean, for the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, a lot of people know that we've had a lot of organizational changes and some money loss issues, we'll just say that. over the last year, we've been kind of dealing with a lot of that. Kind of putting that behind us, which I think we're really trying hard to do and kind of looking towards the future, I see like a really bright light at the end of the tunnel, and I'm really excited for kind of like where we're going. We have people like Linnea, who is our program manager, mm-hmm. and then we have Ruby, who is an amazing addition to our team as our center coordinator. And I just, yeah, I'm really excited for like the life that Gala has right now and kind of the direction that we're heading.
Yeah, it's been a really transformative time for the organization.
Yes.
I've, you know, moving into this role, I've been able to see firsthand a lot of that transformation and hopefully have a hand in making that transformation happen. In my work as the program manager, I'm really trying to refocus some of our programs under three new pillars of promoting civic engagement, expanding access to healthcare and healthcare resources for LGBT community members, and increasing access to art and engagement with art in our communities. And so, you know, obviously there's a lot of transformation for the ways that Daniel describes, but I see a lot of hope and a lot of great programmatic changes and opportunities on the horizons, both, you know, from our own efforts and also because of the wonderful relationships that we have with our community partners.
So both transformation and growth.
Yes.
Sounds like transformation is leading to growth. How about with Hope, House of Pride and Equality?
Yeah, we definitely have one exciting change. We have our first paid staff member, which is myself. I'm the new executive director of Hope. And, you know, that's something that we were aiming towards since the beginning of time. And it's been very exciting to grow, you know, within the role. We've grown a lot as a organization, and the community support has just been, like, amazing. So it's really been helping grow that momentum.
And what hasn't changed, of course, with both House of Pride and Equality, or Hope, and Gala, or GPDC, is organizing a festive celebration for Pride every year in June or thereabouts, even if it's meant virtual Pride events, right, mm-hmm. during the pandemic. Tell us about this annual commitment to celebrating Pride on California's Central Coast. Suzette, do you want to talk about what that means or what that's looked like for Hope?
Sure. This year we're going to be celebrating our 7th annual Pride. And, you know, we would have a lot more years, but if it weren't for the pandemic, but we've grown every year. We've moved it from, you know, downtown to the fairgrounds. And like I said, the community has really stepped up. Every year we gain a lot more partners, a lot more volunteers, committee members, and you can see it in how big the event has gotten. And so we just, as long as people keep showing up, we will continue to grow and show up for the community.
And I remember you had virtual Pride events.
We did.
Right?
We
in did 2021? Have a virtual.
Yes.
Yeah.
2020. We had a virtual Pride in 2020. And then 2021 and 2022, we had like smaller events, Pride events. We've never stopped showing up. We just didn't have a full on Pride celebration.
So talk about GPDC or Gala's annual commitment to Pride over the years.
I mean, since 1997, we've been pretty much going strong. Obviously, the pandemic kind of halted everything. But I think even then, we were still doing kind of little online celebrations and stuff like that. But yeah, since 1997, we've just been in Mission Plaza, kind of gaying stuff up and putting flags everywhere. We chose Mission Plaza specifically to kind of be present and in the face of everybody, not in a bad way, but to just kind of like be present, existence of resistance kind of thing. And so, yeah, I think we just have been there for people for a long time.
But not just Mission Plaza, right? Because
no.
You've had multiple locations in Laguna Lake.
Now we're at Meadow Park. So one of our big changes this year specifically is bringing Trans Pride in the park into our overall Pride weekend celebration, and that's actually happening at Meadow Park, so that's really exciting. So yeah, we've been everywhere in slow, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And even we're helping in Atascadero, we help Cambria, we kind of help everybody with their prides as well. So
yeah, do you have anything to add, Linnea?
Well, I just think it's a really special thing in San Luis that we have a celebration like Pride in the Plaza that's been happening for almost 30 years. Like, we always have additional programming and other events, community partnerships that are really meaningful, but to have had that going on for, I guess this would be our 28th year of doing Pride in the Plaza, that's a really special thing for a community of our size, and to have the outpouring of support and the thousands of people that show up every year to engage and celebrate with us and that's a really special thing for our community.
Yeah, for those listeners who may not be familiar, right, the plaza is right in the center of downtown San Luis Obispo, and any event there means visibility, right? Even if people don't know the event is going on, they might just stumble across it while they're walking through downtown. So that is a significant location for Pride. I'm Lotta Murty with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. My guests today are Linnea Valdivia, program manager at the Gala, also Daniel Gomez, board member and chair of Central Coast Pride 2024 and 2025, and Suzette Lopez, executive director of HOPE, House of Pride and Equality. And we are talking about both organizations, the Gala and HOPE, and their annual commitment to celebrating LGBTQ+ Pride. You can call us at 805-781-3875 or email us at voices@kcbx.org with your questions. So, the heart of the matter here today, right? Suzette, Daniel, and Linnea, tell us what HOPE and the Gala have planned for this year's Pride celebrations in San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria. Have some already started? Have you already had some Pride events?
Yeah, I actually just a few weekends ago went birding with Pride with the Morro Bay Audubon Society, which was so much fun. And I was the only person to get hurt because I was parkouring unnecessarily and I fell down. But it was an amazing time. We had an amazing group of people just kind of come out and bird for the first time, which if you don't know what that is, it's literally bird watching. and it was amazing. Do you have anything that's happening? That's already happened?
That's already happening, no, but we are definitely kicking things off next week. And the rest of the month, we're going to be having, you know, a few events with different partners, like the Drag Loteria Night at Cubanissimo on Wednesday, June 4th, or the Queer Mixer at the historic Santa Maria Inn, which, you know, they say it's haunted, so there'll be a lot of us there on June 5th. And then on June 6th, there's the Pride Night at Lark and Sparrow. We also have the Drag Preskill Show at Preskill Winery, and it's going to be our 8th event there. So we're super excited because we're going to be featuring RuPaul Drag Race Queens this year. And that's, you know, kind of like a leveling up for us. And we also have the Santa Maria Pride Fair Park event as well. And then an after party at Cheeto Bar. So we have quite a bit going on just for Pride Week alone. And then a few other events that you can, you know, find at our website.
And what's that website?
It's smhope.org.
smhope.org. So right around the corner, starting next week. Yeah. Do you have anything coming up next week for Gala and SLO, or when do your events start?
Well, we have an extended Pride Fest this year. So from May until the end of June, we've had events that are really exciting and we hope folks come out for. But our big Pride weekend celebration, our Pride Fest, is going to be happening this Saturday and Sunday. So Pride in the Plaza, our big celebration, is going to be happening from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 31st in the Plaza, in Mission Plaza in San Luis Obispo. And then Trans Pride in the Park is going to be happening from 1 p.m. to 6 this Sunday, June 1st at Meadow Park in San Luis Obispo. And the former Pride in the Plaza is our big celebration that's been going on for 28 years. There's going to be vendors and performances. We're going to have a special reading by the SLO County Poet Laureate to kick off our celebration. And then Trans Pride in the Park, which is going to be on Sunday, is going to be a family-friendly celebration with vendors and a quiet area and performances, and it's going to be a great time.
It sounds great. Tell us about the reasons or why there's a separate Trans Pride celebration from Pride in the Plaza.
We wanted to create a space to specifically uplift and support our trans brothers and sisters within our organization. So for a long time, the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and Trans Central Coast were their own separate organizations. And in our merger, we wanted to make sure that, you know, our trans brothers and sisters are a part of our community, and siblings are a part of our community. But we want to make sure that we give them the visibility and celebration that they deserve. And it's also, you know, Pride in the Park was its own event for many years. And in our merger, we wanted to you know, give that celebration some love. And yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. We had a whole like round table at the beginning of planning Pride of like what we want to do to kind of like help bridge all of our letters of the alphabet to kind of bring everybody together and make the trans community feel supported by the Gala Pride and Diversity Center and feel seen in Pride and not just kind of, you know. Anyway, so that was kind of like the idea of having its own event and including it during Pride Weekend.
Wonderful. So what's new this year? Anything you've never done or tried before that's coming up for Pride? Suzette, anything that Hope's doing that's new and different?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we normally have one drag segment, but this year we're having two. And the cool thing about one of them is it's called So You Think You Can Drag, where we're going to be featuring, you know, up and coming baby drag performers, giving them a platform to do their thing, debut their artistry. And that's super exciting because we've never done something like that. And then on top of it, you know, not too many new things, but just improve things. We are having, you know, in the past we've had like 40 plus vendors. I think we're going to hit 60 plus vendors this year. So that means a lot more makers, a lot more vendors, a lot more small businesses, nonprofits. So we're excited to just keep it growing.
Baby drag performers. Tell us, who are baby drag performers?
They are performers that, you know, haven't had a platform to show their artistry or be on a stage. You know, you see a lot of seasoned performers do, you know, to show their stuff. But maybe Daniel can help me answer this. But it's just people who have never had an opportunity to, you know, show their talent on stage. Or, you know, some people have never done drag in the past and we want to see if it's for them. So it just gives them an opportunity to show their talents and to see if it's something that they want to pursue and keep doing.
Yeah, we're a tiny little community. So drag shows aren't happening as often as like LA and San Francisco and some of the bigger cities. And so people don't get the opportunity as often to get on stage to practice the craft of drag. And so kind of these talent drag shows or baby drag shows are a really fun way to just like let new drag queens see if they maybe even like it. Mm-hmm. Juicy CW, who is going to be hosting Pride in the Plaza on the 31st, that's how they started, is one of an old party that I used to throw, showed up and did a lip sync for your life and was discovered by the community.
And now they are a legend.
Legendary.
Lip sync for your life. Is that from RuPaul?
It is from RuPaul.
Yeah. Okay. I heard that before. Yes. All right. So tell us where our listeners can go to find out about the gala.
Slowpride.com. That's the best place to go. You can also go to our social media. Everything is kind of shared between Gala Pride and Diversity Center, Central Coast Pride, and Trans Central Coast. You can go to any of those Instagram pages and find all the information.
Yeah, so slowpride.com, galacc.org, and then the Instagram handle where you can find us. A lot of the information is at the Gala Center.
And tell us where to find Hope's Pride events on social media.
Sure. You can find us. Our Instagram handle is hope.esperanza.sm, or you can look up Santa Maria Pride. I'm sure if you just like type Hope, you'll see us pop up. We're a big rainbow circle. And then you can also find us at our website at smhope.org. That will take you to all of our social media links.
So Esperanza means hope in Spanish.
In Espanol.
So tell us about including the Spanish language, and it's very intentional.
Yes. Right?
Yeah, for hope.
Our founders, Jesse and Adi, really saw this need for there to be a Latine community, LGBTQ community in Santa Maria. So a lot of our events do focus on the Latina community and everybody else, but that was a big need. And that's actually how I found hope. You know, I found comunidad with House of Pride because they had events like Dia de los Muertos and, you know, Loteria Nights and things like that. So it made me feel included, seen, and not just where I can go and be gay, but also celebrate my culture. So it was, it was kind of like a double win for me. So we definitely do that. And, you know, we're going to try to learn more so we can feature more as well in the upcoming years.
And you're having Loteria Night
we
again?
We are having a Loteria Night. It is a family night at Cubanissimo restaurant in Orchid.
Are you the caller again?
No. If they need me to, but we actually have a drag divinity za and Nova King, a drag queen, that will be doing that. So I think it'll be a lot more fun.
Is it called a caller? Or what is it now?
I don't know what, I guess, what do they call it in bingo? I'm not sure.
Is that a bingo caller?
A bingo caller? I don't know. They might say llamador in Spanish. I'm not too sure what they call it, but they definitely call them.
I'm going to try to make it to that. We went last year. Yeah. My family and I. So anything, if our listeners are new to Pride, is there anything they should bring or should know or should prepare for before they go?
Bring water. It's going to be very hot this Saturday. I was looking at the weather. It's going to be like very hot for you San Luis Obispo people. I live up in Paso, so it's cold to me. And then wear rainbows. That's really, really important. Or trans flag colors, also really important.
Bring water, sunscreen, and, you know.
And your love and support.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, you can't bring water to our event because we are you can get water at the event. We promise we'll have some. But it is a closed, no outside food or drink, just for everybody else's security. We are going to have security at the door. But just bring your rainbow gear, bring a good attitude, and just bring yourself. That's all we want.
Yeah. And that's specifically
for Santa Maria Pride, yes. Mm-hmm. It's at the fair park, so they have a few rules you can't really bring in, you know, outside food or drink. But we got you covered.
Yeah. And also bring your dancing shoes. Yeah, there's always a good time and a lot of dancing.
What are each of you looking most forward to at this year's Pride celebrations?
The fight, I think, for within the community right now. I'm excited for us all to, like, come together. I feel like this is the first time since the election where I feel like we've all been able to just, like, come together and, like, celebrate our community. And I'm really excited for us just to all, like, get in the room together and like hang out.
Get in the plaza together and hang out.
You know what I mean? And fight.
Yeah. We'll do lots of that, though. It's inevitable. But.
I have a pretty similar answer, but I'm really excited to see the community come out. I'm really excited to see all of our vendors there and our community partners there, because we are a very diverse community, you know, ourselves, and then the people that show up for us and want to celebrate us. You know, we have a lot of folks that are going to be at the celebration, so I'm excited to see folks celebrate Pride in all the ways that they do, and yeah.
And before we have you talk about that, Suzette, we do have a caller. Bill is calling from Grover Beach. He wanted to ask about wheelchair access. Hi, Bill?
Yes.
Hi, you are on the air.
Okay. Yeah, the last time I was at your building, I had a hard time getting into the building without going all the way around the block to get into the lift. Have you improved that situation any?
Is this at the Gala Pride and Diversity Center in SLO?
Yes.
Yeah, we do have a wheelchair ramp that goes out to our parking lot, but that is around the back, as you said. We are working on doing an accessibility audit, but unfortunately, yes, we do only have a wheelchair ramp that's going around to the back of our building at this moment.
Well, it would be nice if you could access your building from Palm Street without having to go all around the back to get in the building.
I agree. Thank you. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a definite space for improvement. Thank you.
I'm sure there's plenty of people that would enjoy your building more if it was more accessible.
I agree with you. And I think one of the things we're trying to do with the building right now is kind of look for upgrades and ways that we can make it better for our community, so that it's more accessible and usable and all that kind of stuff. So any of that feedback that anybody has, please.
I offered to help with suggestions a couple of years ago, and I was totally rejected.
Well, we are a new team now, and we want your suggestions.
Yeah, okay.
Please. In fact, if you want dgomez@galacc.org, if you just want to email me, I'll make sure it gets to the right person.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Bill. And this is the Gala's center. It's an old house, right? It's a historic building.
Mm-hmm. It was donated to us in 2009. We are at 1060 Palm Street, so we're right in the heart of downtown. And it is, a formal residential building that we have converted into our center. We have a front room where we host activities. We have a library full of books. And then we also have a therapy office upstairs.
Nice. Does Hope have a physical space?
Not yet, but we hope to have one in the future.
Very good. So we are going to take a short break to hear from our studio. Over to you, Brad.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, an exclusive interview from inside an ICE detention facility with an outspoken activist who was once Time 100's most influential people, and a look at what the sanctuary movement is today under an administration that removed churches from the protected locations list. That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, comic actor and writer Sarah Silverman. Whether it's talking about sex, abortion, being Jewish, racism, or just everyday life, she's willing to take risks to make a point and make it funny. We'll talk with her about her new comedy special, Postmortem. It's about the death of her father and stepmother, 9 days apart. Join us.
Hurricane season starts next week. FEMA's fate, though, is still very much TBD.
We carry on. We still have to do the work. And we still have to, the folks who live out here still have to make do regardless of what happens or what the government says or does.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Hurricane Prep in Houston. Next time on Marketplace.
When Israeli author Edgar Keret read his manuscript on October 6th, 2023, he was worried it was too dark. But when he came back to the collection of short stories months later, his country now plunged into a brutal war.
Suddenly I understood what it was about. It was how to stay human in human times.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly. That conversation on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
That's a look ahead today on our Thursday here on KCBX with Latino USA. Coming up following this program from 2 till 3. And then it's Fresh Air from 3 to 4 at Marketplace at 4. And All Things Considered from 4:30 to 6:30. Right now, let's return to Lotta Murty and her guests on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Lotta.
Thanks, Brad. Welcome back. I am talking to Daniel Gomez, board member and chair of Central Coast Pride 2024 and 2025, Linnea Valdivia, program manager at the gala, and Suzette Lopez, executive director of HOPE, House of Pride and Equality. And we have been talking about this year's 2025 Pride celebrations on California's Central Coast. And we just learned what the color in Loteria is called. Yes.
Thank you to Daniel, Daniel Montoya, texting in. It is Cantor.
Cantor. So there will be a Cantor at the upcoming
Loteria night.
Loteria night.
At Cubanissimo restaurant in Orchid, California.
And when is that again?
That is on Wednesday the 5th. What is it? Wednesday the 4th, June 4th.
Yes, come learn some more Spanish. That's one of the reasons I come. Where else are you going to learn some of these words except at Loteria, right? With HOPE, House of Pride and Equality. Listeners, what questions do you have about this year's Pride, either in Santa Maria or in San Luis Obispo or on the Central Coast? Are there any Pride experiences you would like to share? Are you wondering how to get started organizing a Pride celebration where you live? Call and tell us at 805-781-3875, or you can email your questions to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. And our last caller, Bill, asked a great question about accessibility. So would you like to talk some more about accessibility at the Pride events coming up? Bill asked about accessibility of the Gala Pride and Diversity Center. But accessibility has or is part of or integrated into your events as well. Right?
Yeah, it's something that we think about very often. And in fact, we were doing a walkthrough at the park, Meadow Park, the other day and realized that our bar wasn't accessible enough as we'd like it to be. And so we changed it, and we actually figured out a way to beg the city to let us change it so we can make it more accessible to people. And so, you know, we're trying really hard to, like, look at everything that we're doing to make sure it's accessible to everybody.
And what, I'm sorry, what event specifically is being held again at Meadow Park?
Oh, Trans Pride in the Trans Pride in the Park on June 1st.
Great. Linnea.
Many of our events this year are family friendly. I would say most of them are family friendly. And so for that reason, we really want to make sure that, you know, that we tell folks that, you know, our events are family friendly, but also make it a welcoming and, like, accessible place for people of all ages, all abilities to come and celebrate with us. So one of the ways that we're doing that also at Trans Pride this year is we have allocated some spaces that are going to be quiet zones where people can go and take a break from, you know, the loud music or kind of the crowd, so people can go and kind of relax and take a break. And we've also assembled some kits, these really cute drawstring bags that have things like sunglasses or earplugs or headphones to kind of help folks who may get a little overwhelmed by the hustle and bustle to just kind of get a little bit of a sensory break from some of these things so they can still participate, because, you know, physical accessibility is really important, but we want to make sure that, you know, all folks feel empowered and feel like they belong at our events as well.
Yeah, I've appreciated that you've taken that into account over the years. And how about Santa Maria Pride? How does accessibility play a role?
We definitely try to look at the community needs, and, you know, in places that we've had gaps, we try to fill those in by learning from our mistakes as well. And so, you know, we offer a bilingual host in most of our events. I believe we definitely have Spanish-speaking hosts for all of them, just because we know our demographic and we want to make sure that everybody's able to enjoy and understand, you know, what's going on. We do have accessibility. It is a state building, so there is easy access for you know, wheelchairs and walkers. And we do have vendors that have had special requests, and we're able to just accommodate those requests because we want everybody to be included.
Wonderful. And so you, Suzette, and also you, Linnea, have mentioned family-friendly programming. So for those of us with children who might be wondering what's appropriate to bring our children to and what ages and what might not be, can you specify that for us?
Sure. On our posters, we'll definitely add like an age. If there is an age requirement, like 18 and over or 21 and over, we'll make sure to put that on the poster. But if like Santa Maria Pride, like at the Fair Park, is a family friendly event, so all of our entertainment will also be family friendly as well. And like our Loteria Night on Wednesday is going to be a family friendly event as well. So we make sure to advertise that on our posters and our social media.
Great. Yeah, Linnea.
That's similar for us. So if we have an event that is 18 plus or 21 plus, we make sure to designate that. But unless otherwise specified, like our events are family friendly, like our entertainment. And we also, you know, in that spirit, you know, alongside our discussion about accessibility, we make sure that, you know, it's accessible and that we have the resources and other things available to help folks enjoy our events. So we'll have water and food and everything, you know, that folks need to enjoy.
And I don't think we really have any non-family friendly events. We are putting together very last minute an after party at the Carissa, which is actually being put together right now. As we're speaking, people are hustling and bustling, getting that together. And that's going to be at the Carissa from, I think, 8 to midnight. After party, 21 over, no cover. But I think that's the only event that's not family friendly for Pride this year.
Yes, and that will be on June 1st, Sunday, June 1st.
The 31st.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
On the 31st from 8 to from 8 to midnight.
So May 31st.
May 31st.
May 31st. Yeah, coming up.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah, this coming Saturday.
Just saying, there is no June 31st.
So this is party at the Carissa Saturday, be there, be or be square.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. Wonderful. So there are also other Pride celebrations going on throughout the Central Coast. What I love about all of your organizations and Pride is that everyone supports each other. These are not competing events. They're just more reasons to celebrate and party. So tell us about the other Pride celebrations going on the Central Coast.
We have Atascadero Pride on June 14th from 11 to 5. We have Cambria Pride June 29th. And then, we have one in AG that's going to be happening, which we're really excited about.
The AG one's going to be fun. It's put on by Neighbors and a few other different organizations. I'm actually going to be DJing one of their events at Humdinger, so I'm excited for that one. For Hope, we're going to be doing, obviously, Santa Maria Pride, but we have a few other events that we're supporting or receiving, like, proceeds from those events. Like, there's going to be an Orchid Pride weekend towards the end of June. That's still, like, in the works, but it's definitely set in stone. So that's exciting. And then we're also going to be a part of there's also some events going on in Solving. We're not a part of that one, but, you know, there's just Pride going on throughout the whole Central Coast.
Yeah, it's a very pride-filled month, I feel like, from one side of the county to the other.
Yeah, so just search for a city and Pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remembered, yes. Okay, I'm like, I knew I forgot something. We're going to be having an event on the 28th in Lompoc, Caymans to Dreams. They're having a Pride label for one of their wines release party. And a lot of the part of the proceeds of the sales will be going to Hope.
And what is it called again?
It is the event is called Cheers Queers. The business is Caymans to Dreams, and they have a Pride wine label that they are featuring this year, and the proceeds will be going to Hope.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
And easy for those, me to say.
For those listeners who may be interested, what is the name of your DJing business?
DJ Suze.
DJ
Suze, but we operate under Mírame Entertainment.
Mírame, which means?
Look at me in Spanish.
Yes. So for those listeners who do not have the option of going to a Pride celebration where they live, but would like to organize a Pride event, maybe not this year, but next year or in the future, what advice do you have for them to get started?
I say just do it. I feel like you would be shocked at the amount of support that you would get from your community if you just went out and asked. I feel like that's how Hope started Pride. I was kind of there to watch that kind of come up. And I'm sure that's how the Gala Pride and Diversity Center started Pride. You just got to do it. Go out, ask people for some donations, and find a spot. It doesn't have to be big. It can be a small little hall or a parking lot, and just do it.
Yeah, start small. And, you know, one of the good things to come out of the pandemic, if we can even say that, but is remembering that our digital spaces are great hosting platforms. You know, we're going to have some live streamed events, and we really want to make sure that our events are accessible to everybody in a lot of different ways. But there are lots of ways to engage. So just start small and ask for support.
Tell our listeners how they could access the live streamed events.
So we're going to be live streaming. One of the things that I'm most excited for is that the Gala Center is returning to the Art After Dark circuit on June 6th from 5 to 8 p.m. We're going to be hosting the work by a wonderful photographer known as Transnormativity on Instagram, also known as A Class is their name. But they do wonderful portraiture work, and we're going to be hosting them and having an in-person Q&A with the artist at the center, not to be missed for those that can make it, but for those who can't or want to experience it digitally after it's over, we're going to be live streaming it on our Instagram account, which is, again, The Gala Center on Instagram.
Excellent. And Suzette, if there are listeners who would like to start a Pride where they live, they don't have one currently, what advice do you have for them or insights?
Yeah, kind of the same advice, like just do it, start. You really will see the community come show up and support you. One of the ways that we've seen that happen right in front of our eyes is, you know, there's an organization called, or a little collective, LQA, Lompoc Queer Alliance, and they started small and they were just growing and growing, and they're working their way towards becoming a nonprofit soon. So the community is super excited, and it's been really wonderful to see their momentum.
Yeah, they're on, I think I saw them on social media as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
They'll be at Santa Maria Pride. They'll be doing some volunteering work, and they've been kind of helping us spread the word, and they'll have a booth as well.
Wonderful. And so tell our listeners again where they can find out about your organizations and events coming up.
You can visit slowpride.com for all of our Pride announcements and more about our calendar. And then for general information about our organization, you can go to galacc.org.
And you can find Hope's or House of Pride and Equality at smhope.org. You can see all of our upcoming events, or you can find us on Instagram at hope.esperanza.sm or Santa Maria Pride.
Hey, Lada, it's Brad here in the studio, and I had a question for the panel, if I can offer one up.
Yes, of course.
I'd like to hear from each one of them which specific events they're really looking forward to taking part in this year. Out of all of the events that are happening, and it sounds like there's a lot, which specifically are you looking forward to, and why?
I'm really looking forward to Trans Pride in the Park on the 1st at Meadow Park, specifically because it's a little bit more casual. Get to sit on the grass, hang out, watch some music, eat some food, look at some vendors. Pride in the Plaza is a little bit more like hustle, bustle, busy. You don't really sit down. You kind of just dance and look at vendors and eat food and have a good time. So I'm really excited for Trans Pride in the Park to just like hang out and chill with friends and family.
And is that Trans Pride in the Park, is that the first one, or how many of these have been done?
Oh, I think this might be our third or fourth.
I think third or fourth.
Yeah.
That's right. But it's the first one that's programmed specifically into our Pride Fest Pride weekend.
Thank you. Now I'm looking for to hear who else has got a favorite event that they want to highlight and attend.
I can go. Yeah, I'm looking forward to our Hope After Dark drag fundraiser. Fun fact, I kind of inherited that event from Daniel. So it's been fun, you know, growing that event as well. And I'm just looking forward to having drag race queens. And it's my favorite because I get to DJ and just kind of have a good time and enjoy like the whole production aspect of it, which is like my bread and butter.
And drag in a beautiful sunset. You can't.
Yep.
And do you have a particular favorite drag performer?
Crystal Method, who I'm sitting right in front of. You know, they're all my favorite. I think they all have unique qualities, and I'm just excited to be working with all of them.
Linnea, favorite?
The event that I just mentioned, the opening night reception for Art After Dark on June 6th, I'm really looking forward to that. I think A-Class's work is just phenomenal. So I think there's that. But, you know, one other thing that I'm really looking forward to is we're having a Pride Month poetry workshop with the Slo County Poet Laureate, Caleb Nichols, and that's going to be at the Gala Center on Wednesday, June 11th from 5:30 to 8:30. And it's going to be a really great workshop where folks can learn more about Caleb's work, but also about like queer poetry, and we'll get to close read some poems, write our own poems, share writing, and I think it's just going to be a really exciting way for folks to get together and make some art.
How many people do we expect in the plaza?
3,000 at least.
Wow.
That sounds like that's going to be quite a party.
It's going to be a party.
And at Santa Maria Pride?
Definitely over 1,600.
And again, where is that going to be happening?
That's going to be at the Santa Maria Fair Park in Santa Maria.
Thank you. Thank you for indulging my questions here.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
This is Lotta Mirti with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's show and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It's available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices, and you will find this show and many others to choose from. And there's still time for your emailed questions about Central Coast Pride 2025 and Santa Maria Pride 2025. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org, and we will get them on the air. My guests for today's show are Suzette Lopez, Executive Director of HOPE, or House of Pride and Equality, Daniel Gomez, Board Member and Chair of Central Coast Pride 2024 and 2025, and Linnea Valdivia, Program Manager at the Gala. And we are talking about upcoming festivities for LGBTQ plus Pride Month, June 2025, in both San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties. So from their start, both HOPE, or House of Pride and Equality, and GPDC, or the Gala Pride and Diversity Center, have emphasized intersectionality and taken an intersectional approach to everything they have done. Could you each talk more about this and why this is important to your organization?
Absolutely. Intersectionality is at the heart of everything that we do. We know that queer and trans folks are in every community everywhere. And so as a nonprofit that is here to, you know, that is run by and is for queer folks, queer and trans folks, we want to make sure that we are doing work that is representative and inclusive of everybody. So in that, we try and reflect that in our programming. We try and reflect that in you know, everything that we do.
Daniel, how is that showing up in Pride this year or in past years?
I think just, I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of like ingrained into what we do that it's kind of hard to like point something specific out. I feel like we really try hard to like just include everybody and maybe specifically the team that we're working with specifically this year for Pride. But I feel like in almost every meeting we have, there's always that conversation. So it just feels kind of natural. Like we're just trying to include everybody all the time, as many people as possible.
We see that in our, you know, who we partner with. You know, we partner with Planned Parenthood. We partner with the Diversity Coalition. And we use those partnerships and the events that we put on in conjunction with those groups to, serve programs that serve our community.
Yeah, Suzette?
Pretty much the same thing. It's kind of evident in our theme this year, like strength in diversity. You know, being different makes us stronger, and that's what we're focused on. Last year, our theme was, you know, breaking barriers, building bridges, and I really do feel like we've built those bridges with our partners this year, and now we're just celebrating our differences and coming together as one.
And having Spanish, as you said earlier.
Having Spanish is definitely a plus. I know in the past we've had like Mixteco and American Sign Language as an option, and we're hoping to bring that back hopefully the more we grow.
So strength and diversity,
yes,
is the theme for this year's Santa Maria Pride. I'm sorry if I missed this earlier. Is there a specific theme for
Pride? Then, now, forever, being that we've always existed, we exist now, and we're going to fight to exist forever.
Great. Yeah. Does that have particular meaning right now?
I mean, yeah, I think based on the political climate and kind of the fear and uncertainty that we're all facing, we have that feeling of needing to fight. But also one of my big things with Pride this year is I really want to celebrate the people that have come before us and have built Gala to be what it is, and have been able to kind of hand that over to the new generation of people, and I really want to celebrate them. One of the ways that we're doing that is working with the Slow Archive Project, the Slow Queer Archive Project, and doing like a whole thing at the Slow History Center with them to kind of really celebrate the people that have come before us to build Pride in the Gay, Pride, and Diversity Center, or what used to be called the Gay and Lesbian Center.
We're really excited to be partnering with the History Center of San Luis Obispo, the Slow Museum of Art, and with funding support from the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo to put on this exhibition. So we're going to have a history exhibit of photos and artifacts from past Pride, because I think something that's really important right now in this moment that we are in is to not only remember but to see what has come before us, because the Gala Center didn't just come out of the, you know, pop out of the ground, you know, in the last couple of years. There have been, you know, hundreds and hundreds of queer folks in Slo County doing the work to make our existence possible today. And being able to see these vibrant, cool photos of all these 90s people getting down in the plaza in 1997 is just, it's healing. It's beautiful to see. And we really want folks to come out and see those pictures and see the pins and like all the, you know, all these artifacts that we have, you know, from that time, so folks can remember. So, you know, especially our youth can remember that, you know, we have always been here and we will always exist, you know, even at a time when our histories are being erased in a lot of like really, really literal ways. So that exhibit will be up at the History Center of San Luis Obispo. You can come check it out at Pride at the Plaza on Saturday, May 31st. That's going to be at Mission Plaza. And the History Center is just like...
It's right there in the plaza.
It's like 10 feet away. Yeah. So please come check it out and, come celebrate with us.
Tell our listeners again where they can find out about that event and more.
Slowpride.com. Slowpride.com. I practiced three times in the car and I still got it wrong.
It should have been 40.
I've been saying galacc.org, so I'll take the blame for throwing you off.
But it is, in fact,
slowpride.com.
Slowpride.com. And for Hope and Santa Maria Pride,
smhope.org, or you can find us on hope.esperanza.sm on Instagram.
Okay, I'm going to stop asking because now we're all confused. So to close us out in our last couple of minutes, What do you – and you kind of brought this up, Daniel, but what do you see as the future of your organizations, Gala Pride and Diversity Center, House of Pride and Equality, and Pride as a celebration locally?
I think the conversation keeps coming back to Pride has always been kind of a political movement and a fight to exist and to be seen. And so I feel like that's probably what's going to happen with Pride is we're going to kind of go. I mean, we like to have fun. Almost everything that we do in the history of queerness, we always include fun. So even when we had like the queer or the gay liberation and all of that stuff, we always incorporated fun. So we'll always have a good time, but I think that need for fight is kind of bubbling, and I think that's where Pride and the Gala Pride and Diversity Center will kind of end up going, is kind of more towards that fight to exist.
All right. Sorry, you have just a few seconds each. The future.
The future is remembering the past, not to get too convoluted, but it's to remember our roots and remember that Pride, yes, is a form of resistance and will continue to be a form of resilience for us as a community.
A future for hope. We will continue to be that safe space for you in the Santa Maria and surrounding areas, and we just hope, too, that you continue to grow the org with us.
I want to thank today's guests, Linnea Valdivia, Program Manager at the Gala, also Daniel Gomez, Board Member and Chair of Central Coast Pride 2024 and 2025, and Suzette Lopez, Executive Director of HOPE, House of Pride and Equality. We have been talking about upcoming Central Coast celebrations for LGBTQ+ Pride Month, which is every June, and what Pride means, not only to my guests, but also to their organizations. Gala Pride and Diversity Center, based in San Luis Obispo, and House of Pride and Equality, or HOPE, based in Santa Maria. You can find out more about these events at galacc.org or slowpride.com and houseofprideandequality.org.
And smhope.org.
smhope.org. Next week, join Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik as he talks to Mona Tucker and Becca Lewis-Thomas about federal recognition and tribal sovereignty. You are invited to listen, learn, and participate in the conversation on Thursday, June 5th, between 1 and 2 p.m. I'm Lotta Murty. Thank you for joining us today.